are listening to The Daily American. Now here's your host, Dan the Man.
The Daily American is proud to announce a partnership with Skip the Warehouse. Skip the Warehouse is a United States Marine Corps veteran-owned and operated HVAC distribution center, which ships all across the great United States of America. Whether you are a contractor looking to partner with the distributor or simply a homeowner looking to replace a filter, skipthewarehouse.com is the place to go for all of your heating, ventilation, and air conditioning parts and equipment.
Welcome back to the Daily American. This is Dan the Man. I just want to thank everybody who, you know, on Apple Podcasts, subscribed, gave me a 5-star rating. Anybody who's downloaded on Spotify, Google Podcast, thank you very much. We're on multiple platforms. Just telling the stories of individuals from all walks of life. Today we have here, growing up, I'd say I didn't have many role models, but this man definitely was one of them. He happens to be my older brother. He goes by two different names, Valen and Patrick. There's a funny story behind it because he was born Valen Patrick Cianci, Valen after my father, who's Valentino. But I guess growing up, my mom being Irish, Patrick kind of stuck. And then after high school, when he went to the Marine Corps, or actually his senior year of high school, he went into the Marine Corps. Obviously, they go by your first and last name, that's on your birth certificate, which would be Valen. So we're not going to call him Valen. Patrick, welcome.
Thanks, Dan. Really appreciate it. Thanks that I was able to be a man or an older brother in your life. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it more than you'll know. But let's see. This guy has got many titles. Scholar, certainly. CPA, United States Marine, and a business owner with a successful company called Skip the Warehouse. So, Pat, start us off with, obviously, we grew up in the same household. You being, about 5 years older, I'm sure we got some different perspectives, but I'd say humble beginnings for sure. Go ahead and kick us off with, what it was like in the Cianci household growing up.
Yeah, wow. So, thinking back, I can tell you that the main thing that sticks out from our childhood would be, and from my childhood would be, that things were for sure and certainly focused around money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Everything focused around money pretty much. And that was kind of the driving force for getting that work ethic that you need.
I'd say when you say focused on money, just to give the audience a little insight and perspective, our parents didn't have much of it. So, especially you guys being older, you guys were out working, making money to, essentially chip in for everything. Milk, bread, groceries, if we want a cable, the electricity had to stay on. So, yeah, I remember one of my oldest members shoveling snow with you. I was probably 8 or 9, and, I was just your helper, and you're going door to door, shoveling snow and Conshohocken, probably 13, 14 years old. And that money, most of it was going to dad to chip up for the bills, whether it was that or, you riding your bike to McDonald's to collect a paycheck. That money as well was going to bills. So at a very young age, I think you realized, especially if you're paying for the family bills at 13, 14, 15 years old, then you're going to have a driving force behind you to find a way to make money always, to make sure that all your overhead, all your bills are going to be covered no matter what.
Yeah, that's stress in the household, the financial stress, I believe. It was a positive, and it's also it's a negative because it creates anxiety around finances and around the almighty dollar. But going back to the working, I started working when I was 7. I was, and you were what, 2?
Yeah.
So
Would you have me in your backpack, Ron? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was on my Mongoose at 7, and I was delivering papers after school. And I was working for free. I mean, I never saw a dollar from that except tips. Now, tips, on the other hand, nobody needed to know about them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the tips kept it. The tips is what really gave me a realization of how easy it is, but difficult at the same time, to make money in this opportunity we have in this great country. To make money just by providing that extra care, that due diligence, that service to folks, and building those relationships while you're doing it. So, for example, if I'm delivering a newspaper to an elderly lady on 5th Ave or 4th Ave or 3rd Ave in the mean streets of Country Ockham where we grew up, I build that relationship. Come every time I deliver a newspaper, I don't just throw it at her door. I hand it to her. You know, I say, hi, ma'am, how are you? I know them by names. And then when Christmas time comes around, guess what? They hand me an envelope and nobody knows about it. So that was a way for me to make money. At the same time, while I didn't actually see the money that I was earning day to day, I would see it at the end of the year. So it taught me a lot as a young kid. And those kind of lessons are invaluable. Not a lot of kids that are 7 these days, especially with the internet and social media and video gaming, which is at a whole new level. Those experiences really give you, provide you with the access and knowledge to be able to go out there and carry that forward going forward, like at McDonald's, just provide everybody with the most high quality customer service. And then I go to the car wash and I work there. And I have 3 jobs when I'm 16 and I'm still going to school and getting straight A's. And, you know, you apply those principles to everything in your life and it's going to pay off one way or another. It's going to pay off in the long term for certain. And it has paid off for me.
Wow, impressive. So real quick to touch on that, the car wash, the soft cloth car wash, just to give, you know, again, the audience a perspective of what we're talking about when it comes to customer service that you're speaking on. You go through a car wash nowadays and the rims, the rims on my vehicle, they're never clean. The dirt's still on them. The inside isn't really detailed. When I, and again, I got this from you again, following in your footsteps in certain scenarios, soft cloth, you know, shout out to soft cloth car wash, Arm & Cadillac car wash. I think Chuck was the owner, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't shout out to him anymore because I just took my car there yesterday.
He's not the owner anymore.
I know. And it was an absolute disaster. But I remember when I was there and I was 13, 14, 15, I worked there from 14 to 18. And I had a line when I was there on Saturdays and Sundays, I had lines of cars waiting for me because they knew, and I made some good money too. And they knew that when that car came out of that chute, that it was going to get special attention and special care. And I made some tips, and that's how I was able to buy my own car, you know, treat girlfriends out to dinner and such, and take care of them when it came time for the birthdays and Christmas because I had the cash. And it all stems down to just providing that excellent customer care. And that's how I run my business, both businesses, and that's how I try to run my life.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, listen to this. Hopefully there's a younger generation coming up. I mean, I think they're completely screwed because this whole society is a little jacked up, but we're not going to dive into too many details in regards to that. But, you know, hopefully somebody can hear this and that work ethic you have, obviously it stems from the humble beginnings. All right. So you're in high school. Obviously I know you were pretty good at drawing, at, you know, being an artist, cutting.
Yeah, so I was in high school and backtrack to high school. I was, you know, a lot of this stuff is hard to remember because I sit there and I have so many overlapping experiences since high school. But I started drawing in art class probably in eighth or ninth grade. And I was in there, you know, with a good artist from Philadelphia who would probably be doing an interview. on here at some point, or a podcast on here. And me and him, we loved to draw, and we were good friends in Country Hocking. And you know, I definitely had a talent, and I realized that going through high school. So my senior year, I applied to the Philadelphia Art Institute, and I forget who told me to apply, maybe even one of my art teachers, and they accepted me, and they gave me drawings to do and such, and they came and they visited, and they said they wanted to talk to me, and they said they would give me a scholarship to go to their school in Colorado. So I was like, yeah, man. And then I said, time out.
I don't know if you said time out. Dad said time out.
I said time out in my head. And then I said, I'm going to get my ass beat if I tell my dad I'm going to art school. But I told him, and he was like, absolutely not. You're going into the Marine Corps. And I was, you know. At the end of the day, I just wanted freedom as a senior in high school, and I sure had a lot of it because I forked up money or paid money to pay for my freedom. And meaning, you know, for example, when I got my first car when I was 16, like in order to get my first car, the stipulation was to get a cosign on my first car, I had to pay for the insurance for my dad's first car. For the entire time he had the car. So I was paying his insurance bill in order for him to co-sign for me to get a car. And I'm obviously paying for my own car and my own insurance at the same time.
At 17.
At 16. Yeah, 16.
16.
So, yeah, so that was interesting. So my dad was just always tough on me. And he was the toughest on me out of my three brothers. And I think that, you know, it's caused a lot of pain and anxiety throughout my life. But me and my dad had a great, 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 great relationship later on in life. And since he passed in 2018, you know, I miss him dearly. And everything that we went through and all the growing, he didn't know how to be a dad, just like I don't know how to be a stepdad and or a husband or pretty much anything else because nobody taught me. He did his best, and I do love him, and all those things are in the past. But yeah, so back to the scholarship. So he said, you're going in the Marine Corps. So lo and behold, you know, I just wanted to enjoy my senior year of high school. So I decided to enlist in the Marine Corps, and I swore in on September 7th, 2001, which was 4 days before 9/11, September 11th, 2001. So, you know, I pretty much shit my pants after that one. And I stayed in. I went to boot camp when I graduated high school and finished out my boot camp and finished out military police school. And then, you know, went back to the car wash because I was on a reserve contract, an 8-year reserve Marine contract. And then started my first year of school at Westchester University. And did my first year, my freshman year of school. Then I deployed. I got called up to go to Iraq for 7 months, a year deployment in total. And then I came back, finished up my sophomore year of college, and then got called, and then went again to Iraq for a second time for a year. And then came back, finished up my junior and senior year, and graduated with my bachelor in science, specializing in accounting, and started working for a CPA firm.
Yeah, that's a lot. So fast forward. So after the two deployments, graduated college. When you started at the CPA firm, how old were you?
I was 25.
25 with a whole lot of real life experience. Obviously, you know, starting at a very young age, life started hitting you, obviously. And you started hitting back, clearly. Which brings us 25, you're at the CPA firm, and you're doing corporate accounting?
Doing corporate accounting, just public accounting, tax, auditing, individual tax, personal tax, corporate tax, partnership tax, a lot of audits, nonprofits, all types of organizations. And I did that for 9 years, and that was a lot of learning a lot of learning in a great firm. That's Rayner and Company, one of the just a top notch regional, smaller firm. And some of the partners there really just taught me and guided me and were almost like role models for me in business, in finance, and in being a man. And I remember I was at the firm when I got, it was actually a DUI. Just like everybody else, I have my struggles. And I went to the partner of the firm, the main partner, and I told him, look, hey, I got a DUI over the weekend. I'm going to lose my license. I'm going to go to jail for 30 days because it was my second DUI. I got another one right after my first deployment when I was all messed up. But I'm going to still make it in here at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to get a ride here. I'm going to be here. And, you know, long behold, it was a blessing because one of the weekends while I'm getting ready to go to jail and I'm sewing, Seroquel, which is a sleeping pill that the VA, the Veterans Affairs gave me. So I told my psychiatrist that I was heading to jail for the weekend. I need sleeping medication. So she gave me those as a one-time courtesy.
Those things are vicious, by the way.
Every weekend, for 15 weekends. And I'm sewing those into my jeans. And me and my girlfriend at the time, who's also an owner in Skip the Warehouse, was an HVAC distribution at the time, just working the counter at a local distribution company for heating and air conditioning. And she asked me, what do you think we can do? Do you think we can do something like another guy does that sells online and sell these heating and air conditioning parts and supplies online? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And she's like, well, I'm literally sewing this pill into my jeans. Meanwhile, if these prison guards, they strip search you. If they check, they find the pills, you're going, you're no longer on the weekends. You're now in jail.
Set up shop for a while. Yeah.
So I took the risk though. That's a lot of things in my life that I know that I've done is I've taken risk, and that stems from just having that drive that look, you got to do what you got to do. And certain times you got to take risk.
Let's pause for a quick second. I skip over, I want to mention something. So when you got your second DUI, you know, you're employed for a pretty significant accounting firm, and you weren't you weren't throwing excuses out there. You went to the partners and you owned up to your mistake, and you said, I'm still going to get here every morning. I'm still going to do my best to fulfill all my duties. You manned up. And I feel like, you know, when you make mistakes and you have struggles, if you're able to do that and, you know, find a way to, again, I use this word a lot because I think that's what this podcast is about. Persevere through your mistakes, through your struggles. It's phenomenal. It makes an exceptional story. It makes you unique. So, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you're on you're sewing the Seroquel into your jeans.
Sewing a Seroquel into my jeans, heading to go get strip searched, and literally jumping on the bus and heading to the jail. And my girlfriend's taking me, and she says, "What are we going to call this company?" I said, and it just came to me. I said, "We're going to call it SkipTheWarehouse.com, and we're going to skip the warehouse." And you know, I worked on that every day that I got home from the accounting firm for 9 straight years. Or actually, that was started in 2011. So for 6 to 7 years, every day I got home, I worked on it and built it to where it is today. And it's just incredible to see the fruits of your labor in that regard.
So talk to me about like your first. So you created this online distribution company, and then talk to me about like your first sales. I mean.
Yeah, how do you do it? How do you start with $0? Not a dollar. I literally had $10,000 in my bank when I got my DUI, and then I had $0 after I paid the courts $10,000. So the way I did it was, the first thing I did was I started working on government jobs. I got our company verified as a veteran-owned business. I got working on government jobs, so I was doing contracts. I was trying to just make any penny I could to keep the business alive, you know, pay the overhead expenses, like the website fees, the hosting fees, the subscriptions that you need. And then one day, you know, we had no inventory because we had no money. So one day, my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, she said, let's try to sell some line set covers, which are just these plastic fittings that go on the outside of your house. Just a piece of plastic. And so what we did was we just had a budget of $5 a week to throw out there on Google and advertise. And I created a campaign and AdWords and all that. And we got our first sale, and we were just like, okay, we were ecstatic. It was like the greatest thing that ever happened to see a email come through that you actually have somebody actually went on your website and bought a product from you and have the faith and confidence that you're going to actually ship that product to them because they paid you. And just incredible, that moment. That every time I see an order come through, I mean, I still feel it's not as big, but it's still that feeling of like, I got a duty to fulfill. A customer has faith and confidence in me. And when I see my guys and gal, my employees out there hustling, making sure that when an order comes in at 5:30 Eastern time, that we get that shipped out at 5:35 or 5:45 or 7:30 at night or whenever we got to get it out. So that was pretty cool. So we started by bringing a little bit of inventory into our garage. And then we went into a Connex trailer where we started bringing more inventory. And the way we would purchase inventory is we would just make the money that you made from the previous year would go into your inventory for the following year. You had that leftover money, your profit would go back into the company by purchasing inventory. And then the more and more stuff that I load up on the website, and five websites later, four or five, we've built now we're on our fourth or fifth, I believe. And continuously building that customer base, and most importantly, which all my employees know, is providing. When I have a meeting on Monday, the first thing I say is, "What do? We abide by the six rules." And rule number one is to provide excellent customer service and respond to the customer. Responses can take you a long way in business. Just responding, simply answering an email or a phone call will take you a long way. And I always try to do that. I remember my wife, Heather, would tell me, "What are you doing? It's Sunday," back in 2015, and a customer calls. "Don't you have any boundaries?" And unfortunately, when you are starting a business, there are no boundaries. And I answered that call, and you never know who that customer is going to be. You never know if he's going to buy from you today for $10. And maybe in the next 10 years, we'll buy 150, 200, 300,000. You just never know.
You just never know. And that customer not only could do a ton of volume with you the next year, but that customer also knows people and they can appreciate that service that you're providing.
You never think that from going from $5 a week in AdWords, which is a $20 a month budget, to now spending... Last month, I think we spent $8,000, $9,000 just on Google. That is just totally incredible. And I think that it can be done. I know it can be done. And I think that many people can benefit by just sticking to the program and just sticking to that principle of just providing that excellent customer care and responding to the customer. But back to the Connex box. So I have the inventory in the Connex box. I'm out there. I'm sweating in the summer. There's no air conditioning. I would leave the accounting firm. I'd head there. I'd pack all the orders that came in for the day. Now, Heather, my wife, who is a partner also, helped me at the time, obviously, and she did a lot of work too in the business. But went from there, said, "All right, we're outgrowing the Connex box. Let's move to a small garage." I moved to a small garage and we filled that thing up pretty quickly. And then I finally said, "All right, the garage is getting too small for the amount of inventory we have. We need to move to a larger warehouse." And now I'm in a pretty large warehouse, where, you know, I got guys in there every day, and they pack orders all day, and we have a lot of inventory, and it's just been an amazing journey. You know, I thank God for blessing me with the ability to mentor my employees and keep their spirits up even in the most hectic time. And there is a lot of chaos that goes on. You wouldn't think that an e-commerce business. My thought was, in my head, and I think in Heather's head too, when we first came up with it, was that, hey, we're going to be sitting on an island one day and orders are going to be piling in, and we're just going to be collecting money while people are packing orders and going, you know, like Amazon. That was our...
That island happens to be the Schuylkill River.
Yeah, and that is certainly not the case. I mean, just the amount of work and effort that it goes in, that goes into it is just... It's just unbelievable. But there we are with that. In addition to that, while I was at the accounting firm, I was also helping a couple of my friends out with their personal taxes. So I was doing just some personal, very small client taxes on the side. My accounting firm didn't care because they were actually didn't really want to take on the smaller returns that take a lot of time and don't really pay a lot. You know, they're more high net worth individuals that would be their clientele. But for me, I would certainly take those on. I built my personal tax practice up to a pretty high level where I could sustain that alone without Skip the Warehouse as an income source to survive and basically pay bills annually. So that is Skip the Warehouse. And certainly along the way with Skip the Warehouse, I remember back in 2011 when we first started, I called a gentleman named Bob Gimper, and he was a representative for Rector Seal, who is one of the major manufacturers of stuff that I sell, HVAC supplies that I sell. And I said, hey, Bob, I'm a veteran, a United States Marine veteran. And I started up a e-commerce store, and I was wondering if I could sell Rector Seal. And believe it or not, this gentleman, he gave me the opportunity to do it, and so many more have as well. And these are the companies that have really helped me along the way, that have given me an opportunity. And I promised them at the time, and I continue to promise that I'm not going to let them down. And that's Goodman Manufacturing for sure, probably up there with Rector Seal is number one. And then you got other companies like Friedrich and the reps that rep Friedrich in our area, and Unico, which is a high velocity company, high velocity heating and air conditioning. They gave me a shot, and I'm not going to let them down. And many more. I know I'm forgetting some of them, but.
So obviously this is a story, you know, you're a veteran, you can appreciate this. This is the American dream. I mean, very humble beginnings, not a pot to piss in, getting sent to the grocery store with food stamps. I mean, I remember at a very young age, I was at Acme on Fayette Street, and very young age, grabbing milk or whatever and breaking out the paper food stamps. And I told myself I'd never, I mean, and nothing against social welfare, but I just never wanted to be in that position. And I know mom and dad had four sons, but I never wanted to be in that position to, you know, have to go to the grocery store with food stamps, actual paper food stamps. So, you know, at that, that's just one little lesson I learned. I'm sure you got millions of them, but the bottom line is the American dream, you made a reality. That's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's incredible that, you know, I hear some people still utter the words that the American dream isn't alive. Well, I can tell you that it is. There's so much opportunity out there. If you put the effort in. Now it's going to be a lot of effort and this saying that companies normally fail in their first 5 years. Well, remember, the company fails because that owner, that person that started that company, that drive that they had on year one, on day one, fades and fades and fades. And there are many, many, many times where I said to myself in my head, why am I doing this? Why am I wasting my time with this? I literally made zero money. The company made money, but I needed the money to put in to buy inventory to keep going. So I made no money. I didn't get paid. And so many times I just wanted to quit. you just can't quit. And I don't know what kept me going, but you know, some days I wake up, still to this day, I wake up and I say, man, point is that there's no finish line. And when you start thinking in terms of a finish line, when I get to $1 million, when I get this car, when I get this house, then things are going to be better. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to live better. I'm going to have money. I'm not going to stress about finance. But at the end of the day, the only finish line is death. And if you think in that mentality, I do truly believe that you can continue to excel. And along with keeping the major principles that should be in your life of your faith, right? Keeping that strong, keeping your family strong, your wife, your children, if you have them. I have no children. I have a stepson, but no biological children. And your family and your finance and your fitness. You keep those four items in line and full, per se, then you're gonna be just fine. And there is no end until the end comes, which no one knows when that is.
Yeah, I think just to mention something real fast, you know, obviously you're extremely successful in regards to business. And I think, you know, like you're saying, there's no end to, I think you're just saying there's no end to the success until, you know, you hit that final hour. Obviously, we all have a clock. Death's coming for all of us, unfortunately, as grim as it sounds. But I will say that those things like the, you know, the house and the next car, and I don't think those things bring any sort of internal peace or, you know, I don't think those extrinsic materialistic things do much for a person. But obviously you're growing, like you just mentioned, faith, family, there's four fundamentals. I mean, that's pretty key. Yeah, bro. So if we could, if you had one piece of advice for the audience out there, I mean, obviously many titles, USM, United States Marine, artist, scholar, CPA, highly successful business owner. If you had one piece of advice to wrap this thing up for the audience, what do you think it is? And again, this is always non-scripted, so I'm putting you on the spot here, but what do you got?
Well, I would circle back to, I just recently went to a business leaders event, and at one point in the event, you're at a cemetery and you're writing your own obituary. And
that sounds grim.
And it's a but it's a growth event. It's a growth and a leadership course, a Christian event. And I just knew at that moment that this plan, that our lives, our plans, are what we're going to do in the future. There's definitely, I know for sure, a plan for you. There's, and your creator, whoever you believe in, however you got here, put that plan in motion. And, you know, if you're on track with that plan and you know that you're strong in your faith and you're strong in your fitness, and you're strong in your finances from a spending perspective or from a savings or whatever it is that you do, and you're strong in your family, then I think that keeping up with that and knowing there's a plan are my words of advice to the people out there listening. And I realized that I think I knew that the whole time, but I didn't realize it. So I realized that at my event that I went to. So that would be my advice.
Phenomenal. Well, anybody listen, you know, stick to the plan and tap into your potential. As most of my guests, especially you, the Daily American welcomes you back anytime. We appreciate your service. We wish you the best of luck moving forward with Skip the Warehouse. And
you know, those four fundamentals, stay on those. And like you said, there is no ceiling when it comes to Patrick Cianci. Take care, and thanks again.
Thanks, Dan.